This faith-affirming podcast is a production of Latter-day Radio for the enlightenment and illumination of its audience. Originally broadcast on KLO Radio in Salt Lake City, Utah.
This is Latter-day Radio here on 1430 KLO World Class Talk, broadcasting from the intersection of faith and freedom. I'm Greg Girard. Martin was with us, but he had to leave, and I'm not making excuses for him, but it's my fault. It's technology's fault. Today, this is a bit of a high school reunion for me and for Martin when he was here, because we have his seminary teacher with us from a century ago, Bruce Van Orden, Herr Dr. Professor Bruce Van Orden. He and I share the same high school graduating year. We're not going to say when that was. And we also both went to Germany on our missions. But Bruce has a vast experience in church history. He taught seminary. And Bruce, why don't you just tell people yourself who you are, what you're doing, and why we have you here today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I graduated from Birmingham University in 1970. On my mission, I decided I wanted to be a teacher, and then when I got home, I found out about seminary teaching as a career and went through the training and was accepted as a teacher. I started at my alma mater at Skyline High School Seminary in 1970. Taught there from 1970 to 1973. In those 3 years, I got introduced to the history of the church in ways that I had never imagined. I taught church history, and Martin Tanner was actually one of my students in a church history class. I learned so much more during that period. I studied on the outside. I became an institute teacher in Southern California in 1973. After 6 years there, I became a curriculum writer for the seminaries and institutes in the church office building that involved all of the courses, including church history. But by this time, I had a major passion for it. In the intervening years, I obtained my master's degree in ancient scripture and my PhD in American and modern European history that included a big subsection of Mormon history. Completed that degree in 1986, and that same year I became a faculty member with BYU Religious Education, an assistant professor of church history and doctrine. When I retired, I was a full professor, and now I'm an emeritus professor of church history and doctrine from Brigham Young University.
And I asked him what emeritus means, and he wasn't sure.
I believe it means honorable retirement.
Okay. He was honorable as a high school student. You can't see him, but imagine Abraham Lincoln.
I'm 6'5". Lincoln was only 6'4".
Okay, well, you're not even stooped a little bit. But Bruce has a new book out that's coming out shortly. It's somewhere on a press, somewhere being bound and boxed and sent to a number of places. Where are people going to be able to tell us about the book and when it's coming out?
The title of the book is We'll Sing and We'll Shout, The Life and Times of W.W. Phelps. It's co-published by BYU Religious Studies Center and Deseret Book. And Deseret Book, of course, can distribute all over the place. And so next week, we expect the book to be on the shelves.
So, Bruce, what prompted you to write this 500-page biography about W.W. Phelps?
I wanted to have a comprehensive biography. There are many myths about W.W. Phelps, and clearly I wanted to answer the question, who is the real W.W. Phelps? My interest in him actually began around age 9 when I started taking piano lessons, and my parents urged me to learn to play the hymns because I could be used in our small branch in Nebraska where I lived. So I did learn all of the hymns to play them, and before I finished primary, I was the primary accompanist, and then as a young teenager, I played often in sacrament meeting. I became acquainted with who wrote the hymns, and I saw at the bottom of the page William W. Phelps, and I saw that he wrote some of the most famous ones, the ones we sang, like The Spirit of God Like a Fire is Burning, Praise to the Man Who Communed with Jehovah. I was so impressed with that, so I got interested in him as a person. In 1969, the year that I got married, we lived with Karen's family in Southern California. I had a job that would help me pay for my senior year in college come September. Karen's mother was a good intellectual. She taught early morning seminary. She had access to the seven-volume history of the church edited by B.H. Roberts. So I started reading in those, and I saw the name of W.W. Phelps all over the place, how he interacted with Joseph Smith. I found out through that reading that he fell away in 1839 at the time of the expulsion of the saints from Missouri, but then in 1840 wrote to Joseph Smith asking for forgiveness, and then he got that forgiveness, came back to the church, helped Joseph Smith, and wrote that hymn, Praise to the Man. I got really excited at that time about this person. As time went on in my teaching career, I learned so much more about church history and about Phelps, and I said, there needs to be a good biography on him. Then when I became a professor and it was time to be a writer and I needed to publish as part of my contract, I decided I would write the biography of William W. Phelps. And that was my quest. I started with several chapters, became somewhat discouraged with a few different things, but got back to it in the past 4 years. And the Joseph Smith Papers Project has provided a gold mine of original sources that I can cite more appropriately. And I even learned new things from the Joseph Smith Papers. So this was an appropriate time to come out with this book.
So this book was a long time coming, and I know from what I've learned from you, Bruce, that it's very well researched, lots of good footnotes. And in case you just joined us, we're here on Latter-day Radio, 1430 KLO World Class Talk. Dr. Bruce Van Norden, Herr Dr. Professor, Bruce Van Norden is our guest today, talking about his new book. Tell us again the title of it.
From the song, We'll Sing and We'll Shout, The Life and Times of W.W. Phelps. And I want to imply with the title that we're going to learn a lot more about church history. When I gave out sample chapters to various readers in the process of getting this all ready, they all commented how much more they learned about the overall history of the church and about Joseph Smith from the book.
Bruce and I were together in a seminary class 1962-63, our principal's name was John Heidenreich, and I've maybe talked about him before on the show, but he was a man, former Congregationalist minister, who gave up everything that he had, his job, his position, his home, his pension, when his son introduced him to the Book of Mormon. And I was always so impressed. I could sit at his feet and listen for hours. I still remember things that he taught us in that class. But from what you told me, Bruce, W.W. Phelps had a nice going concern. He read the Book of Mormon, caused him the same kinds of challenges, didn't it?
Exactly. W.W. Phelps was a printer and a journalist. He apprenticed as a printer. He was self-taught. He read widely. He knew books. He was a good scientist and a linguist. He knew other languages. He published a newspaper in his hometown of Cortland, New York. And then when a new political movement arose that opposed the political establishment in the state of New York in 1827, he became a partisan newspaper editor, went on to Canandaigua, one of the most important cities in western New York at the time, and published the Ontario Phoenix. He even wanted to have political office. But living only 12 miles away from Palmyra, he knew of the Gold Bible, so to speak. He was a friend of Martin Harris, and Martin was telling people all about it. So when it was announced in the newspaper in Palmyra that the Book of Mormon was now for sale March 26, 1830, Phelps knew about it immediately. On April the 9th, he journeyed those few miles to Palmyra, picked up several copies of the book, went back to his newspaper office, put them in the bookstore to sell. He kept one and read it thoroughly along with his wife, Sally. And within a few days, he had come to the spiritual conclusion that this contained the Word of God and that he knew he had to be part of the movement. But he was also a prominent newspaper editor with lots of skills, and he didn't really know what to do. He had a big interview in December of 1830 with Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon and knew that this was the movement he needed to be part of, but he wasn't quite ready to be baptized and embrace it. In the early spring of 1831, the people who were financing his newspaper office in Canandaigua were really angered for his interest in Mormonism and the Book of Mormon, so they arranged to put him in jail for indebtedness, which was a trumped-up charge. During the month that he was in jail, he sent letters out to other newspaper editors and complained about what they were doing to him. So they finally let him off the hook, and in May of 1831, he gave up his editorship, which was a prominent one, took his family, went on the Erie Canal to Buffalo, went on a ship to Ohio across the lake, and then walked the few miles to Kirtland, went to the home of Isaac Morley, where Joseph Smith was staying, and said, "Here I am, I'm ready now. I want to contribute in any way I can. I know you've given revelations from God to other people. Can you come up with a revelation that tells me what I'm to do?" Joseph sought that revelation, and it came out and is known as Section 55 of the Doctrine and Covenants today.
How many people get their own section of the Doctrine and Covenants? Well, Samuel Smith, Oliver Cowdery, and...
Hiram Smith, Joseph Smith Sr., all the Whitmer brothers.
They don't do that anymore. As I mentioned, both Bruce and I were German missionaries. At the time, we went to the language training mission. It was Amanda Knight Hall on University Avenue and 8th North, I believe. And we had an Elder Phelps that was in our group. I don't know which German mission he was going to, but one day during a fast and testimony meeting, a Sunday, Elder Phelps got up tearfully and confessed the sins of his great-great-great-grandfather and said he was so sorry that the prophet got put in Liberty Jail because of what his forefather had done. We will talk about that more in the sections that follow. But Bruce, tell us again the name of the title of the book, and then we're going to have to go to break.
We'll Sing and We'll Shout, The Life and Times of W.W. Phelps.
This podcast has been produced by Latter Day Radio. Visit latterdayradio.com for more information. We're not done yet. More faith-affirming podcast content on its way. Stay with us. Podcast was produced by Latter Day Radio, originally broadcast on KLO in Salt Lake City, Utah. For more information, visit latterdayradio.com.
Welcome back here to Latter Day Radio on 1430 KLO World Class Talk. We're broadcasting from the intersection of freedom and faith. And our guest continues to be my old high school buddy, Bruce Van Orden. He was a good kid then, and he's a good kid now. And we met, I don't know exactly where we met, we may have been in junior high school together, but we were in our seminary teacher John Heidenreich's class, and we briefly mentioned him just a moment ago. And he is a former Congregationalist minister whose son had met the Mormon missionaries and who had given his boy a copy of the Book of Mormon, which he took from his son, went through it, and then decided to bring the missionaries over so he could set everything straight. Well, it set everything askew for John Heidenreich. He had read the book. He prayed. He realized that what he was doing was good, but the Lord had a higher calling for him. And so finally, he went to the Lord in prayer, and he said, "What am I to do? I will lose my job. I will lose my pension. All this furniture in the house even belongs to the parish." the parsonage. And Bruce confirms what I just told him, that the Lord spoke to him and said, John, you can stay here in this beautiful garden and serve my people, or you can come with me and play for higher stakes. And John Heidenreich packed up his family, his one son, all their belongings fit in the back of the station wagon, everything else belonged to the church. And then they came west. Bruce, do you want to add to the story?
He became acquainted with some of the leaders of the church over time as they found out about his desire to be baptized. Two of them became his sponsors. One of them was President Hubie Brown of the First Presidency, and then Truman Madsen, who was a famous educator from BYU. They approached the seminaries and institutes and convinced them that this man knew the New Testament and the Old Testament so effectively that he could be a seminary teacher. They tried him out a little bit, and then he came and was a teacher of us, and we were so impressed by him. That was such a wonderful class.
And that's what I call one of the cairns in my life. We're going to talk about that in future segments in more detail. A cairn is a Scottish word. It's spelled C-A-I-R-N. If you go hiking anywhere, you will see it piled up near a trail that tells you you're on the right track. And stop and think in your own life about people who you met along the way, who made such an influence on you, or a good example, or taught you something, or showed you their love for you that has kept you all these years on the right track. Talk about cairns in future segments more.
This brother Heidenreich, I kept in contact with him, and I told him I wanted to become a seminary teacher, and he said, well, maybe you can come back here. And he became the principal of Skyline Seminary, and he pulled the strings to have me come, and he guided and mentored me a whole lot in my early years of teaching seminary.
Which leads us back to W.W. Phelps and the parallels of people who find the gospel and discover that they have to give up everything that they own, just like Christ had challenged the rich young man who came to him and said, I've done everything I can. And the Lord told him, well, give up everything you own and sell it and give the proceeds to the poor. And the story is that the young man walked away sorrowfully. And John Heidenreich and W.W. Phelps did not walk away.
In the case of Phelps, he was really excited to be part of the movement. And in that revelation, section 55, he was called to go with Joseph Smith the very next week out to the land of Missouri, the land of the Lamanites, and to find out where the Lord had established the location for Zion in the latter days, the headquarters of Zion and the New Jerusalem. And he went with the prophet Joseph and was with him there. And a series of revelations came forward in Missouri in the summer of 1831 that called W.W. Phelps to be the printer of the church who would disseminate all of the righteous teachings of the restored gospel. And he was charged to obtain a printing press and to get back to Independence, Missouri, and establish the church's printing establishment, which he did with church money. It was all part of the law of consecration and stewardship. He named his printing office, however, after himself, the same title he had used previously, W.W. Phelps and Company. Their immediate job was to print the revelations of Joseph Smith. There was a compilation that had been put together and transcribed in the hand of John Whitmer, and Oliver Cowdery and John Whitmer were to be Phelps's assistants in the printing office, and together these three put the revelations into typeset, and we're ready to publish the Book of Commandments in the year 1833 before the vigilantes in Jackson County came and destroyed the printing press.
And in case you just joined us, I'm Greg Girard, and I'm here with Professor Bruce Van Orden.
Phelps said, I want to stay in the church. I want to be okay. And so he convinced Joseph Smith to be able to come back in. He was rebaptized in July of 1838. Then came eventually the Missouri-Mormon War of the fall of 1838, in which eventually Missouri militiamen came and surrounded the city of Far West and were ready to wreak terrible devastation upon the city. Phelps was identified as one of the peace negotiators to make it possible for the Saints to have some kind of peace negotiation.
Well, there's more to come in this story of W.W. Phelps. That's why you need to stay around for the final segment here with Bruce Van Norden. We'll be back. You don't want to miss the rest of the story.
This faith-affirming podcast is a production of Latter-day Radio for the enlightenment and illumination of its audience. Originally broadcast on KLO Radio in Salt Lake City, Utah. More faith-affirming podcast content from Latter-day Radio coming your way. Stick around.